You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Tuesday, 27 August, we've got German GDP later this morning, expected minus 0.1 year on year. I'm Simon Brown, coming live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Alex Stace from Thimble Wealth. We had results from Advitech and Stadia yesterday. We had Curo last week. Markets liking them all, although Advitech was only up a little bit. Stadia a whole lot stronger. What stood out for him? Does he ever prefer in this space? Lance Foxcroft, he is from Total on results. Look, H2 looked a little bit better, but it is a tough trading environment out there. And I want to ask them about their energy. They're getting gas from Sasol LNG. Narina Fisser from ETFSA is a listed and actively managed balanced foundation ETF. Quite a mouthful. We will dig into that. It's got an interesting IPO process happening this week. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines for MoneyWeb. Advitech hopes to have full university status soon. We are already ahead of public universities in areas such as the minimum time to complete a degree and graduate employment rates, according to the new CEO. Business day, power likely to stay on in summer despite repair delays. Country will experience stage 2 load shedding at worst, according to the Eskom CEO. Morning markets, US was red, S&P down a third, NASDAQ off a third of a percent, NASDAQ down a full percent. In the East, red, Sydney down 0.1, Tokyo down 0.1, Hong Kong off a quarter of a percent, Tencent down half a percent. Commodities mix, gold 2,543, Brent is higher 81.27, platinum 964, palladium higher at 955. Rand unchanged, 1772. Bitcoin, 62,900. Top 40 opening call, 50 points to the green, which is 0.1% higher.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now with Alex Stace from Thimble Wealth. Alex, appreciate the early morning. As I said in the intro there, we had Stadio and Advitech out yesterday. The market certainly priced what Stadio up some 6%. We've also had Kira. I mean, broadly, the results have all been good and certainly looks like a good sector. What stand out for you? Is this a space that has potential? Do you ever prefer it, or is it a bit of all perhaps?
Good morning, Simon. Certainly, it's a sector that do like. I mean, considering how weak SA economic growth has been over the last 15 years, this is a sector that actually does have growth potential regardless of what's happening. Mm. And just because of the demand for the actual product offerings, right? So within Stadio, they're predominantly more distance learning. So that means they are competing with someone like UNISA. Yeah. We know UNISA is perhaps a shadow of where it used to be from a quality perspective. So there's opportunity there in the market. And then obviously, in the schooling side, we know some of the public schools are not what it used to be, and that's why where Kuro, of course, plays with Advitech. So there's certainly big opportunities. But let's start off starting. I thought it was a very good result. I mean, we see very good top line coming through with growth and learning numbers, but also quality growth and learning numbers, because now if students are in arrears to a certain extent, they will not be able to enroll going forward. So that means the students you actually have on your books are paying. So we're seeing good revenue growth, good cost control, and as a result, margin looking quite strong, a big margin expansion as well in the business. So the earnings growth story at Stadio is far from over. We also noticed that they have surpassed 50,000 students, so they're well ahead of their schedule. Remember when they came to the market, they were targeting 56,000 by 2026. It seems like they'll eat that easily. And then I guess also for the news is they also opened their physical new campuses. Yeah. Some of the viewers might be familiar. They've got a campus here in Centurion, which is already making profits, but now they're going to start building a big one in Durbanville. So that will be open by 2026. So that will be like flagship products, and it will, I think, also increase the prestige, especially if we get to a period where we're going to start seeing university status being granted. I think it will have some nice pricing power there, perhaps more access to bursaries and so forth. So I think Stadio is very well positioned. This is a very good set of results. And the last point I want to highlight on Stadio is, even though the earnings numbers are very strong, the cash earnings even better. They actually highlighted in the results that their free cash flow to EBITDA is like 150%. So this really means these businesses a much earlier J curve compared to a Curio, for example, which has to build big infrastructure. And that means shareholders will be rewarded with good dividends as well over time.
Yeah, that's the huge benefit of that asset light business model. And as you said, the cash absolutely stood out for me as well. It was a giant number. We'll leave it there. That's Alex Dayson, Thimble Wealth, talking the results there. We're asking you on our LinkedIn and Twitter today, what's your preferred education stock? I mean, they're all doing good, but you know, Stadio, that asset light. I mean, Advertech certainly stand out as well. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
Your money knows that reaching new heights means turbulence. But what if you don't have to feel it? Our partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management gives you access to a broad range of global strategies. So when you invest in StanLib's Global Multi-Strategy Diversified Growth Fund, your money can withstand the ups and downs caused by market fluctuations. Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting with Lawrence Foscroft, CEO of Itatal, year ending June, turnover flat, HEPS off 7%, dividend down 8% at 49 cents, but there was a special dividend of 78 cents. Lawrence, appreciate the time. Overall, you mentioned it in the results, definitely a better H2 than H1, but more operational, my sense, than perhaps market conditions.
Yes, the market has remained quite challenging given the high inflation, high interest rates. We are hoping that in the rest of this calendar year, there starts to be some movement in that regard. But we've made some good progress at Ceramic Industries in improving our efficiencies. The management team has kicked on well there. And they're facing some headwinds with regard to competition in their space, but internally performance has been a lot better.
You mentioned the competition, and that seems to be a case of if demand is slim, there's, I imagine, some price wars, some other sort of markets coming into our market to try and offload inventories.
Yeah, we've seen some big and new competitors in the shape of firms opening, particularly in Zambia and Mozambique, quite large producers of tiles, which are slightly different dynamics to what we have in South Africa when it comes to cost of labor, cost of energy, and some government incentives that they've received. And they're obviously starting big new enterprises and looking to buy market share. And a big part of both those countries' exports come to South Africa. And they're trying to enter the market with prices that are maybe not that sustainable, but are certainly having an effect on our margins.
I got you. They come in price pressure, as you say, for that market share. Touching on the consumer, it's been a tough many, many years. Two thoughts. I mean, is it as sort of simple in a sense that as that pressure starts to ease and, you know, we maybe see rates come down from September, certainly inflation is down, we've got two-pot money, that starts to trickle through. I also wonder, we saw a lot of pull forward during the pandemic. You know, we were sitting at home, suddenly those tiles needed replacing. They could have waited a year or two. Is the consumer pressure sort of set to lift a bit in the current financial year?
Yeah, I think you're on the money there, Simon. A lot of the purchasing was brought forward with the pandemic. And we anticipate that most of that has unwound now and back to normal demand.
Mm-hmm.
And the consumer has just been under pressure with competing demands for their disposable income, especially with the load shedding of the last few years. And with load shedding abatement and interest rates looking to come down, we still know South Africans love to invest in their homes. They
yeah.
see it as a good investment. And they like to live beautifully. So we were sure that should they have a little bit of discretionary income, they'll start spending again. And we know that when they start to spend their hard-earned money, that they look for trusted names and trusted product and good quality product. And we certainly have those bases covered.
There were results out recently in the US from Home Depot and Lowe's. I mean, different to you, they're sort of more the much wider. They're not just the tiles. But they both commented that lower home sales actually hurts their numbers because, as you said, South Africans love their homes. When home sales start picking up, the first thing we do when we move into a new home is kind of fix it up a bit as well. That would also be a bit of a tailwind for yourselves.
100%. And we know that new build homes and interest rates are inversely correlated over many years.
Mm-hmm.
So we anticipate, and there's been some confidence in the building sector over the last few years. So if you can get a few tailwinds with the interest rates coming down and inflation staying low for a bit longer, then I'm sure that consumers will start to build and renovate again.
You also mentioned the results that you're seeing a move away from major shopping centres, more sort of convenience shopping, smaller malls, independent outlets and the like. Is that a trend that seems to be sort of established and growing in our market?
Certainly said in our space, and I think there's some evidence that you see it in the sort of the groceries retailer space as well, that the consumers are looking for convenience close to their homes. Transport costs are a big part of buying heavy home improvement products, and people are looking to shop close to home and pay lower transport to get the products back home again. So our traditional big format destination stores are still important for our urban customers, but our rural customers are starting to shop a lot closer to home.
Gotcha. Last question, energy. You talk around ensuring resource security. Sasol, they've pushed their deadline out to June 2027. Obviously, they are your natural gas supplier. That remains a challenge, but you do mention you're trying some options. But I mean, first prize would be to get another source of natural gas. I imagine that's not an easy solution.
You're correct. We certainly like using gas. It's a clean energy. It's easy to use. It's very safe to use. So our first choice is natural gas. And we are grateful that Sasol has managed to extend the date to mid-27. And we're hopeful that we can work closely with them to extend it to mid-28 or even further. However, they have indicated that sooner or later that natural gas from Mozambique will come to an end. At least the timing they're giving us now gives us an opportunity to maybe contract for imported LNG through an FSRU in Mozambique or Richards Bay and bridge the gap of availability of gas. The pricing at which that gas comes in is still to be determined, but we're hopeful that pricing will be viable for us and we won't have to look at our alternatives that we are putting in place. But we've got to have a plan for the worst-case scenario, and our board has been very clear in mandating that we have an alternative on the shelf to make sure our business is sustainable should there either be no gas available or if the LNG comes in at a price that's prohibitively high for our business model.
Gotcha. We'll leave it there. That's Lance Foscroft, CEO of Total. Appreciate the time today.
When you stay invested over time in Stanlib's Global Multi-Strategy Diversified Growth Fund, your money's in for some smooth sailing. With our global partners, JP Morgan Asset Management at the helm, your money can withstand the pressure and bad weather day-to-day market conditions cause. All aboard? Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'm chatting with Nerina Fisser from ETFSA. Nerina, appreciate the early morning time. Yesterday, and what I think is quite a big deal for ETFSA, you announced that you're going to be issuing your own ETF. The title is the ETFSA Balanced Foundation Prescient Actively Managed ETF, share code ETFSAB. A lot there I want to get through. I suppose first, the Balanced Foundation. I mean, this really is an ETF that is designed to kind of sit at the core of a portfolio. And truth could be the entire portfolio. And if we wanted, we could get a little clever and do some sort of thematic tactical around it. But this really is a core ETF.
Good morning, Simon. Yes, absolutely. That is exactly the structure of this portfolio. I think it is something that is quite familiar to people in the unit trust industry, and that is a multi-asset balanced fund portfolio. But for the first time now, one can actually buy it as a single ETF listed on the JSE, globally diversified across equities, bonds, property, and I guess true to the nature of ETFSA, most of the underlying holdings will actually be in these single asset class equity or bond or property ETFs. So a solution rather, I think, than just a standalone sort of offering that ETFSA is bringing to the market.
Yeah, and we must be clear, I mean, this will trade on the JSE. You can buy it from any provider. You say multi-asset. I mean, so it's going to have some local, and I imagine it's going to be one of those ones where you have target weightings and you will sort of rebalance on a regular frequency to bring it in line with those target weightings. What will those weightings be?
Yeah, so Simon, spot on. That's exactly what it will be. So the total local exposure, 65%, global exposure, 35%. And within the local component, we split it out between equities, bonds, and cash and property. So on the equity side, 30% South African equities, 25% South African bonds, 5% cash, and then 5% in listed property. At this stage, the entire global foreign component is in foreign equity. So I think that gives you an idea of where would be a very suitable way for people to maybe explore beyond such a foundation portfolio is to look at additional global exposure. But we believe that the global equities really cover that global universe and opportunity set quite successfully.
It is an actively managed ETF, but my understanding is that that is more because of sort of processes rather than you're sitting there trading up a storm every day trying to beat the market.
It's exactly that, Simon. So I think it's quite important that we understand what the construct of an actively managed ETF allows us to do. When you think of traditional ETFs, the ones that's been around for 25 years, by far the majority of them are index tracking products. In other words, you would be following a particular index, replicate that index. When we look in the multi-asset space, we don't really have multi-asset benchmarks, indices. So it creates the problem that if there is no index to track, how do you track an index? And so actively managed ETFs is something that's been available on the JSE since last year. And really, in this context, it provides us this opportunity to offer something that does not formally track an index, but you're quite right, strategic asset class weights and exposure that we don't expect it to change unless there's substantial changes in regulation, for example. But that static asset allocation that I quoted will remain unchanged. So investors also know quite clear what is it that they're getting exposure to. So it gives you a lot of certainty and transparency in terms of what is in this foundation, this core building block in my portfolio. Should I wish to add to it, I know exactly what I already have and what I don't have.
I like that. And it, although it's active, there's no performance fee, so it can go into a tax-free account, correct?
Exactly. You know, we really see two primary use cases for this type of ETF. The first one is exactly that it's a core building block for people that really don't know all that much about investments. Great opportunity in your tax-free account to use this as the single investment that you put in your tax-free account. But similarly, for more sophisticated investors, it brings the sophistication and the efficiency of having a core, well-diversified portfolio to which you can then add. But you're quite right, absolutely available in tax-free accounts. I think also useful to understand that this is a strategy that we as ETFSA have been running inside our retirement annuity for more than 5 years. Excellent performance over this 5-year period, especially when you compare it to the average balanced fund unit trust in South Africa. But up until now, it's something that's only been available to members of the ETFSA retirement annuity fund. Now, for the first time, any investor, anybody through a stockbroking portfolio or an investment platform with access to the JSE can now buy exactly the same strategy in this single ETF.
Yeah, but it's that range of distribution. A last question. You're doing an interesting IPO process. It's currently an IPO this week. It'll start trading as a sort of a fair value from Monday. That IPO process, how's that working?
Yeah, so basically it listed yesterday at a flat price of 10 rand, and for all of this week the price will remain unchanged at 10 rand. So this is almost like a cash subscription period. So anyone can buy into this ETF at the 10 rand ticket price, and then after close of business on Friday, the portfolio will be invested according to this strategic asset allocation, that full exposure. And so from the market open on Monday morning, we will have a full live portfolio that will start to vary and fluctuate intraday with the performance of those underlying asset classes. So yes, it is like a quasi IPO, but it's a lot more efficient. None of those filling in the forms and sending it to your stockbroker and waiting for your allotment and all of this. Let's call this is like the IPO for the 21st century. So another great innovation in terms of how we can actually do this.
Yeah, I like it. It's nice and simple. I log on, I buy some, and on Monday it starts trading at its fair value. As you say, no forms, no process, just keep it clean and simple. The code is ETFSAB. That was Nerina Fisser from ETFSA. Appreciate the early morning time. Attention all investors and finance enthusiasts, get ready for the annual Money Summit, Africa's largest and most influential savings and investment event. Join me on Tuesday, September 10 at the Sandton Convention Center as we connect with over 100 top CEOs and industry leaders across 20 exciting conferences and forums, all in one incredible day. Secure your spot now. Register online at moneysummit.co.za for free with the code MONEYWEBGUEST, one word. This is your chance to be part of Africa's premier savings and investment event. Don't miss it. Yesterday, I was chatting with Gary Boyson. We were talking around real estate investment trusts as interest rates start to fall. We asked him, is he buying what's his preferred? And we asked you, are you buying REITs? Almost half said, yeah, great value. The rest was split between, nope, sector still a mess. And a bunch of you saying, you know what, you've already got some. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Master drilling.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.